أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد المجيد. All praises belong to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bear witness that He has sent His final messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a light, as a guide, and most of all, as He mentions in His book, as a mercy to all of humanity until the end of times. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His peace and His mercy upon His beloved Prophet and all of the prophets and messengers who came before Him. My dear brothers and sisters, as the Quran mentions, we're encouraged to be conscious citizens, conscious believers who are well aware of what happens around us on a daily basis and well aware of what is happening in society and what people around us are talking about and engaged in. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about us or to us as shuhada ala nas, that we are witnesses upon humanity, and that the messenger is a witness upon us. And if you think about the idea of a witness is someone who is well aware. In the court of law, you can't be a witness unless you understand and you're aware of what you're witnessing upon, or else you'll be a false witness. And the Quran actually talks about being a false witness as one of the problematic acts of an individual can commit. And same thing, if you go to the court of law and you're a false witness, you give false testimony, you're held accountable for that false testimony. So being a witness requires us to have an understanding of what's happening around us, what our society is talking about, what people around us are engaged in their conversations. Because as believers, we then work towards impacting those conversations and impacting those events around us in a positive manner. And so our society, in the month of February, we are celebrating or commemorating Black History Month. And every one of us should ponder on why we are celebrating or commemorating Black History Month. I think for a believer who is conscious and justice-oriented, you can't not know the history of the African-American community in our society. It's incumbent upon us to understand that history so that we know our place as believers. It's incumbent upon us to know people like Malcolm X, or Martin Luther King, or Rosa Parks, or Harriet Tubman, because they leave a legacy that's a very Islamic and Quranic legacy. When you look at the lives of these individuals, you'll see certain themes that as a believer you can't ignore. That individuals like Martin Luther King, or Malcolm X, or Rosa Parks were the conscience of our society.
They lived in a time when America was losing its conscience when it came to dealing with some of its citizens. When America had lost almost its soul when it came to the idea of equality, idea of justice and equity for all of its citizens. So it was people like that who awoken our conscience as a nation. People like Martin Luther King who made people think about what they were doing and what they were saying and how they looked at each other. People like Malcolm X who made people feel uncomfortable about how they would treat each other. Created friction so that people can think beyond how they were living. That was a conscience that America needed, and it was a conscience that people like that provided to America. So if you look at the theme of the lives of people like them, you see two principles that I think, as a Muslim, as a believer, are Quranic, that are encouraged to every single one of us to engage in. When you look at the life of someone like Martin Luther King or Rosa Parks or Malcolm X or so many other African-American leaders who struggled and whose shoulders we stand on today, because we have a little bit of a more equitable and a just society, you'll see two themes that inspired them or that they showed in their lives. Number one was justice, and number two was service. There were individuals who were justice-oriented and service-oriented. And if you think about, you know, the role of a Muslim, of a human being who believes in Allah and who serves to, who seeks to serve Him, you can't live your life without being a justice-oriented believer and a service-oriented believer. You know, when I was reflecting on this theme of justice and service, I remembered a verse in the Quran in Surah Al-Hadid, which explicitly and vividly describes this idea of service and justice in one verse. Equity and service. The Quran actually says that it was the purpose of why we sent you messengers. When Allah says, لَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلَنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. And the verse continues. And Allah says in the translation, indeed we have sent forth our messengers, our apostles, with the evidence and the truth. Evidence and truth. And through them we've bestowed revelation from on high. And a balance. Al-Mizan. لِيَقُومُ النَّاسَ بِالْقِسْطِ. So that you may call people towards equity and justice. The purpose of revelation. I mean, it can't be more explicit than that. That the purpose of revelation of the prophets and of the truth and the evidence that we sent prophet after prophet and message after message is to create justice on earth. To create that equity. Because what the Quran is essentially saying that there is injustice that takes place all the time. But the role of a believer and the role of the message is to help right that wrong. Or help create a more equitable society wherever a believer may live. That's the idea of equity and justice. Then the Quran, almost randomly as it seems, continues the verse and says, وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدَ فِيهِ بَأْسٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. And most people would think, why? When Allah says, and then we've revealed iron, and it is strength, it has strength and power, and it benefits humanity. وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. It's a benefit to people. And so you would think, God is talking about justice, equity, the message, his books, his prophets, why is he talking about iron, a natural resource that he inspired human beings to do things with? Why iron, natural resources, with justice? And if you think about it, this is the idea of service. You can take literally the fact that he's revealed iron to us. Yes, iron, you know, helps us do things. It helps the quality of life. It's a natural resource. But if you think of iron as a metaphor for service, technology, making the lives of people better, allowing people to have a better quality of life, that's the idea of service. Because in it is power, as he said. You can use the natural resources that God has given us to either make the lives of people better or to make the lives of people worse. How do you use natural resources to make the lives of people worse? Well, you create havoc. You create destruction. You create war. You make the lives of people miserable. I mean, when atomic energy was discovered and the idea of atomic energy, that is extremely powerful. It can benefit people. It can bring power to people. It can make the lives of people better, but at the same time, it can disseminate thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in the drop of one bomb. But how do we, as human beings who were given free will and the ability to choose and the ability to use the message that God has given us, how do we become justice-oriented and service-oriented citizens and human beings? That's the theme of the Quran when it talks about justice. And that's the theme of even someone like Martin Luther King when he says that the arc of the moral universe is long. We know this famous quote. The arc of the moral universe is long, but it always bends toward justice. That's key. Because he was justice oriented. They knew that, you know, even if they didn't, you know, when Dr. King, in his famous speech, when he talked about, you know, getting to where his community, he should see his community eventually, at the mountaintop. And he would say, I may not get there. I may not see that moment. I may not see it. But I can feel it. Because God's will is justice. God's will is justice. It's a matter of how human beings choose to implement that will. Or if they choose to partake in implementing that will. And so the Quran constantly in different places asks us to be justice-oriented citizens. Human beings that do not allow our conscience to die. And in the second part of the khutbah, I'll briefly speak about how the Prophet, peace be upon him, was very wary of this idea that our conscience, that we let our conscience die. He made sure that people at some level were thinking about the injustices going on around them. The idea of serving humanity, serving people. Those are key components of also being, what we said in the beginning, of being shuhada, people who are witnesses. And in the second khutbah, inshallah, we'll talk a little bit more in detail about how we can do that. أَقُولُ هَذَا الْقَوْلُ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. The idea of being a justice-oriented and a service-oriented human being. That's the legacy of the people that we commemorate this month. We talked about how they gave America a conscience once again, when we as a nation were struggling with that conscience. We talked about how these individuals were inspired by their faith. I mean, Dr. Martin Luther King was inspired by his faith. Malcolm X was inspired by his faith. And so, that's an example for every single one of us of how we can be inspired by our faith to be justice and service oriented human beings and citizens. Because we said the Quran talks about this idea that injustice will always exist. Anyone seeking to establish a utopian society, anyone seeking to say that we want a society where there will be no injustice, that's fairy tale thinking. That will never happen. The way Allah created us, He created us to test us. As He says in Surah Al-Mulk, we've created you to see who amongst you would be the best in action and behavior. And that action and behavior is not only relegated to ritual, to just prayer, to just reading the Quran, to just fasting. Although those are spiritual fountains that allow us to change society, but they are that. They are not the whole. They're merely what we go back to get spiritual nourishment, to recharge ourselves so that we may then continue our struggle of being justice and service-oriented human beings. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, understood this very well. And he wanted people around him to also understand this. In a hadith that most of you know, in a narration, he talks about this idea of being a conscious believer, justice and service-oriented believer. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, as he's sitting with his companions, he says, let any one of you who sees something wrong, a munkar is something that harms people in any way, regardless of their faith, regardless of their ethnic background, regardless of their color of skin, when there's a munkar, something that's wrong, let one of you change it. And now think about what the rest of this hadith that I'm going to tell you, and how he's trying to inspire every single person in their capacity to be justice-oriented citizens. So he says, let someone who sees a munkar change it. Change it, if you can, with your hand. And if you can't do it with your hand, he says, change it with your speech. You can talk about it, you can bring light to it, you can bring transparency to it. And if you can't change it even with your speech, then change it inside of your heart. Have a dislike of it inside of your heart, even if that is of the weakest of faith. And so let's go through this. Why he categorizes this. Every single one of us has a sphere of influence. Every single human being has a sphere of influence that we function in. Whether you're the president of a country, of a society, or you are someone who only stays at home and deals with your household surroundings, or if you only have your small business that you run, you have a sphere of influence. And in every one of those spheres of influence, there's injustices and service that needs to be taken care of. So whether you're a president of a society and you need to be proactive in engaging in service, you need to be proactive in correcting wrongs and injustices, you can do that. But the Prophet, peace be upon him, doesn't give a way out to anyone. Because if you can change it with your hand, we know we can do that. There's many things we can do. I mean, many people read this narration and they think that they have to actually go change the act with their hand. No, it's the effort and the energy. It's the volunteer time. It's the act of being conscious and using your skills, whatever skill you have. If you're a physician, that's your sphere of influence. If you're a teacher, that's your sphere of influence. And you can change it with your hand. You've got this ability to do it. Then he says, if you can't even do that with your mouth. And in a society that we live in, our speech at times is even more powerful than changing something with our hand. The idea of media, the idea of social media, the idea of being able to bring light to the suffering or injustice of someone else is so easy now. Someone can sit with 100-something characters on Twitter and cause the world to change. We saw that happen just 2 years ago in the Arab Spring. It was, some people used to call it the Twitter revolution. The fact that young people who didn't have power in the kind of orthodox way of power, but they were able to bring light to suffering and to injustices of people through their speech, through the fact that they wrote or they spoke or they said something or they uploaded a YouTube video that someone saw. That was their speech. That was their sphere of influence. But then, and the last point that I wanted to briefly mention, why does the Prophet, peace be upon him, say, and if you can't even do that, if you don't have the ability to change it with your hand, if you don't have the ability to even change it with your speech, at least change it inside of your heart. Dislike it. And this is key. Because he wanted us to be believers who are awake in our conscience. He's warning us that we can't see injustice around us, yet not be awake or alive through our soul, in our intellect, in our heart, and dislike it. That's just not reconcilable for a believer. If the purpose, as the Quran says, of the message and the messengers is to create equity and justice, and then to serve people through those natural resources or those skills that we have, as mentioned in this ayah, you can't be someone who sees an injustice and doesn't feel a thing or doesn't say a thing. And I think that's key for us. We as believers have to be engaged in that process. We have to be engaged in the process of identifying those injustices and correcting them. And our faith gives us so much, so many tools, whether they're spiritual tools, whether they're social tools. Our faith gives us so many inspirations to correct those wrongs and to serve people. You know, one of the things that was known about the Prophet, peace be upon him, that he would randomly get up and help people. Randomly. If it was an elderly woman who needed help, he would randomly get up and help them. If it was someone who in society, in their community, was not fully aware and just wanted to hold his hand and walk him around in society, in the streets, because they wanted to feel good, that was an act of service that he saw. If it was consoling a child who had just lost a pet, it was an act of service that he saw. But it was because he had that conscience alive in his soul and his heart and his mind. And as believers, that's what we need to do. And so if you see, when you read the story, and I urge every single one of you, especially if you have children, sit down and read the story of someone like Martin Luther King or Malcolm X or Rosa Parks or Harriet Tubman. First of all, we need to be, this is part of our history as Americans and American Muslims. You know that 25-30% of this enslaved Africans who were brought to this country were Muslim. And the legacy that they had in changing America and making America a little bit more just is big. It's huge, the impact that they had. And that continued. And so it's our history. We have to know our history, as I said in the beginning, to be able to find our space. Because there's no question that there's injustices in this world today. And how do we as conscious human beings, as service-oriented human beings, find our place to change those injustices and to serve people around us? How many people in our sphere of influence go to sleep hungry at night, just in our country, in this country? How many people go hungry at night? How many children go to school, children in America go to school to eat, not just to learn, but to eat because they don't have food at home? And as believers, whose teachings and whose principles teach us that you have not fully attained to faith if your neighbor goes to bed hungry while you're full, how do we reconcile that? How do we find our position in society to change that? You know, some people, they don't know about Dr. Martin Luther King. 2 weeks after the date that he was assassinated, he had scheduled a march. Everybody knows about his famous march on Washington, D.C. for civil rights and equality for his community. But you know that 2 weeks later, he was going to go to Washington, D.C. for another mass march for poverty in America. Because he saw that poverty in America at that point was something that the prophetic communities, that the faith communities had to take on. So he wasn't just only focused on his community and the rights of his community. He was focused on the war. When he spoke out against the Vietnam War, people said, why are you speaking out against the Vietnam War? You've got your injustices and struggles in America that you need to deal with. But he said, if there's an injustice somewhere, it's a threat to justice everywhere. And that's the worldview that leaders who were conscious of being justice-oriented and service-oriented had. And that's our challenge. So each one of us needs to ask ourselves, in my sphere of influence, with my family, with my co-workers, with my community, and in the society at large, how can I become that justice-oriented and service-oriented human being? Because that's what our Quran, our book, our message challenges us to. And the verses, going back to the verse in the closing that we talked about in the beginning, the purpose of revelation was to create justice-oriented human beings and service-oriented human beings. So we ask Almighty subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us amongst those who, when we recite his words, understand it, are conscious of it, and implement it in our lives. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al-mursaleen, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa qumu ila salatikum yarhamukum Allah.